Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Now, before we get into what we're about to get into, have a listen to this.
It's astounding what's happened in my life. But the past has me in a headlock. Something has to give.
Oh, sounds so good. That, of course, is the voice of mega pop star and former Take That member Robbie Williams. His life has been a series of very high, high, high highs and some very low lows. And next month sees the release of a four-part documentary on Netflix. And it's all about his roller coaster journey so far. Well, my old pal Cormac Ball has been taking a forensic gander at Robbie's life so far. And you won't have to watch the documentary because you're going to tell us all about his life.
Absolutely. You can completely ignore what's happening on Netflix because I'll give it to you all now. But yeah, I have to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of Robbie Williams' music, to be honest, but I really like the man. I really like Robbie Williams as a person. But you know, his career began, he's from Stoke-on-Trent, and his mum and dad are on the pub. Did you know that his granddad is from Kilkenny? Anyone knew that? No, I didn't until
I
had a look at this.
That is not true.
His name is Jack Farrell, and apparently he's from Kilkenny, where I'm from.
So you're from Kilkenny? No way.
Yes, I am from Kilkenny. Yeah.
Go on.
There's not enough Kilkenny representation in this place. There is none except for me. But yeah, if anyone knows any connection, I'd love to know.
Yeah, 51552.
Please. Because I didn't know that until I was looking into this. So how he ended up in Take That, it wasn't through him. His mother saw an ad in the newspaper. And unusually for a parent, she applied for him to get into to Take That, and he got the gig as the youngest member in 1990. So because his career is so huge, I'm not going to spend a lot of time around his Take That stuff, but they had loads and loads of hits. But alongside Take That, Robbie was living like a much more rock and roll lifestyle to them. He was much more, he was partying a lot. He was annoying the rest of the band. Through his use of drugs and alcohol, and he stopped turning up for rehearsals.
Okay.
And apparently he nearly had a drug overdose actually the night before their MTV awards in 1994. Like, the band had only been going 4 years at that point.
God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, only 4 years. They confronted him on it and he agreed to quit the band. I put
not the drugs
quote there. Not quite. Just before they went on tour, but they said that he quit the band, but that seems that like it wasn't actually the truth.
I didn't leave, I was sacked. I would have loved to have done the tour.
Right.
I was going to leave at Christmas. I would have loved to have done the tour.
So you're still happy that you left?
I couldn't be more happy than I am now. I'm doing my own thing.
Right.
I'm writing my own stuff. I'm going to got my own line of clothes out. I'm painting and decorating.
Different times. But yeah, so he was apparently, as according to him there, he was sacked from the band. And Take That broke up a year later anyway. Well, and that we thought that was the end of it. We thought that was the end.
So
of
we thought.
That.
But then in the '90s, he was hanging around with Oasis, wasn't he? That's odd behaviour for a member of a boy band.
Do you remember that at all? Do you?
I remember is them fighting and having words. I don't remember them hanging out. How it started?
What happened was when he left Take That, or he was kicked out of Take That, whichever your interpretation of it is. He felt. He became a bit of a laughing stock because he was being seen, being a bit of a fool around the place because he wanted to be taken seriously. He wanted to be hanging out with all. Oasis were huge at the time. He wanted to be kind of an indie kind of kid and disassociate himself from the whole boy band sort of world. And he was hanging out with them at Glastonbury Oasis. He was following them around the place and the tabloids were following him, following them. And he says, this is a quote from Robbie at the time, after the event. He says, I wanted to be okay with the big boys. I wanted to be accepted. He said there was a playground mentality that carries on through life. And at that time, I wanted to be accepted by the bullies, he said. And that became very part of the fabric of my DNA. So, of course, it was, Robbie were big pals for a very short period of time.
Oh, they were,
But of
okay.
course, that was to go pear-shaped. And this is Robbie a little after, a few years after their brief friendship, having a pop at the Brit Awards. Have a listen to this.
Okay.
Liam, 100 grand of your money, 100 grand of my money, we'll get in the ring and we'll have a fight and you can all watch it on TV. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so he challenged him to a fight, and Liam Gallagher was actually in the audience at the time, but Robin made a very, very quick exit after he said that, because, Liam was up for it.
Oh, no!
Yeah, Liam was up for it, so Robbie...
But do you hear the laughter in the crowd?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It is kind of, you know.
But look, these are the bad times, but he pulled it back, doesn't he? He goes out, he goes solo.
He went solo.
He has a song, and we all know.
But before you get into this, people might not know. He released his first solo album in 97, and it was relatively lukewarm affair. He released three singles off it. It was kind of like, you know, it was doing okay. It didn't look like this was really going to happen. So this song was the fourth single,
possibly
the final single from his debut album. So if this had a tanked, he may have, you know, it might have been the end of his record deal, but it was this song. And down the waterfall, wherever it may take me, I know that life won't break me when I come to call.
Written with an Irish lad.
Yeah.
Ray Heffernan. Got a few quid for that.
I'm sure he did.
Not a lot. But he got a few quid.
Yeah, exactly. But like, that was the fourth single to come from his debut album. So what didn't all just happen? But obviously, when that song came out, it changed everything.
It became one of the
biggest solo albums of all time, all on the back of that song. And then for the next 10 years, he could do no wrong whatsoever. Everything he released went to number one.
Yeah.
Every single, every album sold millions and millions and millions. And then, after 10 years of like a stellar solo career, he decided to change direction. He brought out this thing called Root Box. Diehard Robbie fans will know about. It was, it sold quite a lot, but by Robbie standards, not very much at all. And alienated lots of his fans. But up to this point, he'd had 14... number one solo albums.
Okay, so, I mean, 14 so at, number one
yeah,
solo albums.
So like he did this Root Box thing, and it kind of like didn't work too well.
It surprised us all when he rejoined Take That, and many thought it would all go down in flames.
Yeah,
but it didn't, did it?
Well, firstly, it was very surprising that he joined Take That, especially after all the acrimony about the way he left, mm-hmm. and you know it didn't end well. But they decided to get back together again. And it's funny, this isn't a quote from Robbie himself. I found this, Shane Lynch from Boyzone was being interviewed on a red carpet event, and he was asked about his opinion about Robbie going back in to Take That. And this is what he said.
I know what it's like to be apart from some of the boys you grew up with all your life in that kind of intense industry. And to lose those friends, it's kind of hard. But when you come back, you gain so much great memories and you get yourself back on track. So hopefully it'll sort them out, if nothing else. You know what I mean? It'll actually give him a little bit of love back in his life, you know? And it's great to see.
It's great to say.
Because he did need a bit of sorting out, did Robbie? But like, and everyone thought, you know, Take That, oh God, they're going to get back together again and a couple of singles will come out and nothing will happen. They were more successful when they came back together than they were originally. The level of success they had, which only lasted for 1 year, they were back together again and they split up again after 1 year. But they played 8 nights in Wembley Stadium in a row. That's how big their album was called Progress, and it was just enormous, absolutely enormous. You couldn't get away from them. But again, it only lasted for a year.
He often talks about his problems around addiction, which is great to hear because I'm sure it resonates with a lot of people. What's his clip with Elton John?
Well, look, he has a. He talks about having a very addictive personality, and like, you know,
addicted to fame. We spoke about it on the show literally on Friday.
Yeah, he addicted to fame.
Yeah,
that's one of his things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, drugs and alcohol have been issues in the past.
Sure.
At one point, he gave up smoking. Right, so he's. But you know, so often when people give up one addiction, they move on to another. So he moved into being addicted to going to the gym. So he's going to the gym 3 hours a day. However, at the same time, he became addicted to eating minstrels, as in the minstrel sweets.
They're nice
sweets, but he'd spend 3 hours in the gym and then he said he'd go home and sit there and eat 3 hours worth of minstrels.
Oh God.
But then he gave up the gym but kept the minstrels going.
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
At a point where the tabloids unkindly were referring to him that he looked like Elvis just before he died. Now, this is a story, like things did get very, very bad for Robbie. So this is a story he tells of arriving at Elton John's house, his pal's house. The worse for wear, mid-bender. I think he'd been drinking all morning. And this is what he said when he arrived at the door.
I went round to Elton's and he opened the door and I was sort of button crooked and I'd got food down there and red wine stains and whatever. And he was like, "You're going to go to rehab." And I was like, "I'm going to go to rehab." And he said, "You're going to go to rehab now." And I went, "I can't go to rehab now. I'm going next week." And he said, "No, you've got to go to rehab now." And I said, "I've got to go to rehab now."
So, yeah, Elton, he stayed in Elton's house that night, sobered up. A lot of people came in, kind of intervention style, and they took him away to rehab the next morning in a Rolls Royce, probably.
Ah, yeah. Well, Elton knows all about that, and a man from experience could really help his pal. Why do you think people who don't like his music seem to like him so much?
Like I referred to that earlier on when we were in the introduction to this whole thing, and there's just something about him, you know. I feel like he's one of us. He just kind of, I feel like he just got lucky and he's had to suffer. He's very self-aware. He describes himself as a pathological oversharer, which he is, because I'd imagine this documentary, you're going to hear an awful lot about who he is, and I don't think he's going to hold back. He's very neurotic. He even worries when he's not worrying. That's something I have in common with Robbie and myself. And he says he has a way of making trauma look confident on stage. He says, "My main talent is turning trauma into something that looks show busy." Now, as I said, he's spoken very widely about his health issues, including his mental illnesses, obesity, self-esteem issues, alcoholism, and the list goes on. But have a listen to this clip of how he is on his constant battle with his mental health and how he could easily go down the tubes if he's not careful at any moment.
Yeah, it doesn't go away. I don't think you ever stop feeling odd. You just get used to it, I suppose. I'm all right as long as I stay away from drinking drugs. I see my life as like a bottle with the silt in the bottom. The silt will always be there. And if I pour alcohol or drugs into there, the bottle goes like that and everything becomes murky.
Yeah.
Okay. He caused a bit of controversy recently. What was that?
You cast your mind back to last year, because at the World Cup in Qatar, he performed as part of the World Cup celebrations down there, which attracted a huge amount of criticism due to Qatar's human rights record and strict LGBTQ laws. And, you know, Robbie's a fan of people from all creeds and all parts of sections of society. But he didn't say sorry. He actually defended his decision about playing at those games. Like someone like, didn't Rod Stewart say he turned £1 million down to do it? But Robbie didn't. He said he decided, if Robbie decided not to play, this is what he said in his defense, if he decided not to play in countries that had questionable human rights issues now or historically, he could only play in his own kitchen. So like he was saying, I'm not sure if I agree with him on this, to be quite honest, but that's what he said. You know, like most countries around the world have some issues to some degree, but I think I think he read the world wrong on that one. But you'd have to make your own mind up on that.
He's got more money than sense, that's for sure. Has he any intention of stopping? You know what I mean? Just having a little go off to Lanzarote for a week or something.
I don't think he can ever stop being Robbie Williams. Like he sold 77 million albums.
That's incredible.
So I mean, that's just, he obviously doesn't need the money. He says, "I don't need the work," because it's the classic thing. People who retire, then they die. And obviously, that's not completely true. He says, "I've got a job, it's my hobby, but it's something I need to do." And it sounds dramatic, but you die inside if you don't. So I need to do that. And finally, just to prove the point, let's give him the last word to him. Here's what he said just as they were about to film this new series we're talking about.
If you are into somebody sharing too much information about themselves, I'm your man. But I've been thinking about the run-up to the starting of this film, and it's about making it interesting, because these things are essential to keep this tanker of a career going forward. I genuinely need this. I need that documentary because I'm still ambitious and I still want to succeed. For my ego, this Netflix thing has got to be really good. It's got to be.
Sold. I'm all over it. I can't wait to see it now. And I'm not a fan of his music or of him.
Are you not a fan of him as a person?
Not really. He was always a bit cheesy for me. I always found him a little bit cheesy. Lau loves him.
What do you mean by cheesy?
His music is a little bit cheesy.
His music, yeah. Like, I'm not a fan of his music at all. But like, I really do warm to the man as an individual, certainly. And I can only imagine this documentary or this series of documentaries will increase.
Well,
that,
I changed my mind about the Beckhams. I'm sure I'm going to change my mind about Robbie Williams after seeing this. So thank you for that. And it's called Robbie Williams: Raw, Honest, Real. It drops on Netflix November 8th. There you go. Something to do over the winter. Not lovely? Thanks, Cormac.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare. Looking after you always.